Welcome to another episode of the Property Nomads podcast. And today we're going to look at the mistakes that Aaron and I have made in our buying times during our last few years of buying property. We're not perfect. No one's perfect. And I just want to give a shout out to Kay Hallinan for actually suggesting this episode as well. We don't often talk about things that we're doing, things that we've done in terms of property. We don't want to turn this into a sort of an egocentric podcast. You know, it's all about us. It's not the point. The podcast is about adding as much value as we can to you rather than talking about us all the time. That defeats the object in our opinion. That being said, you know, we've made multiple mistakes over the last few years anyway, which will probably be incredibly valuable for you to hear. So thanks for Kay for suggesting this episode. There's no particular order for this. These are just some mistakes that we've made, a couple of funny stories in there that, again, with the benefit of hindsight, they're quite funny. At the time, they weren't overly funny, but when you look back on it, I certainly have a laugh and a chuckle to myself as well. So certain mistakes that we've made, I'll start off with a funny story, actually. So the first ever property we bought, and most of our portfolio is buy to let, up in Hull. We do have other properties across the north as well, but most of the stock, most of the portfolio up in Hull. And I remember the first refurb that we done, which we ended up overpaying for. That is one of the mistakes that we've made. But, I remember we didn't test we never tested the floor properly. So if you walked into the property at the time, sort of bounced up and down, it's a bit spongy, which normally indicates that there's an issue with the joint. If you've got a suspended timber floor, it normally means that you've got an issue with the joists underneath. And we weren't clued up on that at the time. And remember walking in, didn't do a bounce test, and a guy had come around to, I think it was the electrician or something, come around to change a few things. And he needed to be on his ladder. So he's put the ladder up, and he's got, when he's a big guy, in all fairness, he's got one step on the ladder and he's just fallen through the floor. Absolutely fallen through the floor. Thankfully, he was okay. I think everyone sort of laughed it off, to be fair. Again, one of those things at the time that wasn't overly funny, but I look back on it now and he should have been there. It was quite funny, in all fairness. And from that, you know, we learned that next time to do a bounce test on the floor, because you can get different types of floors. You get a solid floor, you get suspended timber as well, and normally you can tell by doing a stamp test. So, you know, either jump up and down a little bit, or, you know, really bang your feet on the floor. If it makes a hollowy sound, it's more than likely a suspended timber floor. If it sounds solid as a rock, then chances are you've got a solid floor. Yeah, watching an electrician fall through flooring wasn't good at the time, but looking back on it, it was, luckily no one was hurt, but it was, it's quite funny. Random things like that do happen in property. You know, always prepare for the, always expect the unexpected. Other mistakes we made, again, on that first property, we look back on it now, we've made a couple of mistakes with this property, but I will point out that sitting down and doing this now, it's actually one of the best properties we've got in our portfolio. At the end of the day, the DD we've done on it was good. It revalued well. We were able to pull most of the finance back out, which was fantastic. But at the time, it was the first property. And if you've never bought your first investment property before, so if you listen to this and you haven't bought your first investment property, it can be a bit nerve-wracking. Because you're starting into a new venture, you're ready to go, and you can get all excited, or you can get a bit nervous of, well, am I doing the right thing? Have I bought it at the right price? Have I done everything, you know, correct? You want to get your ducks in the line. You know, I'm certainly like that, and you know, if you are as well, it can mentally be a bit tiring. But all of that being said, again, when we look back on it, I realise that we probably overpaid for the sourcing fee on it. The property turned out to be a corporate sale. It was on market, And I can't remember if it was advertised to us as off market. I don't think it was. But the sourcing fee we paid was, again, in hindsight, pretty hefty. But at the time, it seemed like a good thing to do. These were new sourcing agents we were dealing with, wanted to give them a hand kickstarting their business, sourcing business as well. So at the time, all seemed like a win-win. And again, I'm not being spiteful. I'm just looking back on it and going, actually, if I'm being pragmatic about it, we did overpay for that fee. It was a property that was on market. You could have right moved it. It was there. And it was also a corporate sale. So there was really not a way to be able to secure that off market. So anyone could have gone in and ended up buying the property. So overpaying on sourcing fees, I say, is a mistake that we've made over the years. Falling through Joyce, we just mentioned as well. That's not really a mistake. That's just one of those occurrences as well. Overpaying for refurbs. And again, this is the first property or two I think we've overpaid for our refurbs. Yeah, I understand that people have got to make money. People have got to make money. And, you know, builders, most of the time, are going to put a little, you know, slice of the pie in for themselves. They've got to make a living. Nothing wrong with that at all. But again, when I look back on it, you know, we probably overpaid by probably about £1,000, I reckon, as well. You know, breaking our property virginity back in the day. Didn't know too much about property. I mean, we don't, you know, we're not the gurus of refurbishments now, in all fairness, but we're getting better. Every day's a day to get better. We kind of took the builder's word for it. And again, hindsight, they actually done a decent job, in all fairness. We probably did overpay for it slightly. Again, Aaron and I, our philosophy on the first one was, well, let's put this down to experience. It's unlikely that the first one's going to be the best property we ever have. Let's just do it. Go with the flow. Let's monitor it as best as we can and go from there. So overpaying for refurbs. And that comes from another mistake that I would say that we've made, and that's not understanding what costs what. So it's very easy in properties, you probably know, that this different things happen. Different things happen. You know, if you, for example, if a joist breaks, how much does it cost to go to, you know, local merchants and get, you know, a nice thick joist to go under your flooring? How do you know how much that costs? Or do you just take the builder's word for it? If you take the builder's word for it and he charges you £400 to pick up a joist and replace the joist, you might think that's all right. But if you're more meticulous, you might think, well, hang on a minute, maybe it's £30 for the joist and it's going to take you 2 hours of labour. There's no way that's £400. There's a balance to that. There's always a balance to that. You can either end up going so in depth with it and be incredibly meticulous with all your spreadsheets. Nothing wrong with that, in all fairness. Then you've got to look at the time cost of that. If you're taking on sort of that level yourself, what's the cost of time to that? You know, are you just happy to pay someone else a little bit more to get it done so that you can focus on, you know, other income generating tasks for your business? So as we always say, there's no right or wrong way. However you want to deal with your portfolio is up to you, as long as you do it, again, under that ethical umbrella. As long as it's perfectly legal to do, then, you know, feel free to, you know, do your portfolio how you want to do it. But not understanding what costs what, I think has cost us at some point in the past. Now, whether that's having new boilers installed, new piping, new flooring, extractor fans put in, you know, new oven, these sorts of things. Sometimes you just accept the builder's word for it, or if you're going through a lettings agent, you just trust the lettings agent to be able to deal with that for you. And if the price seems reasonable, then fair enough. All I would say on that is it's probably a good idea to have a basic understanding of what costs what, just so you don't have the wool pulled over your eyes. You know, in our time of, you know, doing various interviews for the podcast, speaking to other people, etc., you see some figures that people have been charged for certain things, and it's, you know, not good, especially if the investors are abroad as well. I think, you know, it sounds like people just think they could take more advantage of that because, you know, their clients aren't even in the country. And I think it's a bit naughty, in all fairness. But anyway, I'll stop rabbiting on, but understand what costs what to an extent. That will really help. And then that way you can always question things when things pop up. At the end of the day, you know, we're landlords, we're investors. We want to provide, you know, the houses and the homes that we provide for people should be of a very good standard. You know, we're providing a good product to the market, and we're also providing a very good service to the market as well. And with that, you've got to make sure there's a bit of quality there as well, versus, you know, what's the bottom line? Of course, we'll, you know, we all want to make money as well. At the end of the day, we're trying to run businesses. So if you can keep your costs down, then that's always useful. So have an idea of what costs what, just to make sure that, you know, your power team aren't pulling wool over your eyes. Another mistake that we've made is not having the right power team in the right place at the right time. Again, when we got started in property, it was the first property that we done was very off the cuff. It wasn't planned. An opportunity came to us. We quickly went out and raised the finance, and we just decided we need to go ahead and do this, because if we didn't do it then we were probably never going to buy a property. So we just went out and done it. And as a result of that, we didn't have the best power team in place. You know, we've worked on that over the years. So I would say, behind the scenes, you know, make sure you're speaking to, you know, solicitors, make sure you're speaking to brokers, you know, insurance brokers as well for your portfolio insurance. A lot of it's going to be trial and error. But I do remember, you know, back in the day doing the first one, it was, you know, all up in the air in terms of power team. We just really had not much of an idea. So I would say, you know, that's probably a mistake that we've made as well, is not having our ducks in the line with the power team. So do speak to brokers, you know, speak to solicitors. And if you're doing that and you like the vibe that you get from them, you know, when work comes up, do give it to them. You know, don't go and waste their time for no reason, unless you feel that you're really not going to be a good fit. A lot of it with power team is trial and error. Other things that we have not done quite so well at, there's been one or two times where we've not done enough DD, due diligence on a property. And again, this comes down to the type of person that you are. You can easily go down the analysis paralysis stage where you overanalyze absolutely everything, and by the time you get around to giving your answer, the deal's gone. Sometimes you just have to suck it up, use your best knowledge, use your best interest, and just go ahead with it. But sometimes you can not do enough DD on a property. And I've been guilty of this before on one or two of the purchases that we've had. I've gone around and I've not noticed things during inspection stage. For example, got this plug. You can plug into the wall and it tells you if there's an electrical fault at all in the property. And the property we bought a few years ago, again, from the outside, looked okay. You walk inside, you can see that a few things needed doing, not an issue. We purchased that for a sourcer. And again, walked around with a sourcing agent. You can see that a few things needed doing, not much of an issue. But I forgot to bring this plug with me. So I never tested out the electrics, which again, hindsight was a bit of a fail, because it turns out that the electrics in the property after we purchased it were abhorrent at best, and the whole property needed a good full rewire. So that set us back quite a bit of cash. Again, one of those things, if I'd have known it at the time, we might not have ended up buying the property, or would have certainly sort of negotiated a different price at purchase. But then I look at it nowadays and go, well, a full rewire is done. It's got a, you know, brand new consumer unit. The electrics are safe. Tenant's happy. You know, it's a safe property. I'm thankful and grateful for that. So there's always two ways to look at it. But yeah, not taking that plug around effectively could have set us back a few thousand pounds there due to a full rewire. And some of the photos are really bad from what the wiring was like. But again, at the time, didn't do enough due diligence. And, you know, as a result, that set us back, you know, possibly a couple of K there as well. So not ideal. So do enough due diligence. Do enough that, you know, you're happy with that as well. And probably the last one, and probably the key thing here, I would say, in our years of investing in property, is not understanding your skills and not understanding yourself. So, you know, for those that follow the podcast over the last couple of years, of course, eternally grateful for the support. You would know that last 12, 15 months or so, it's been a bit tricky, to say the least, and found out that I was autistic, which I kind of had a feeling I was anyway, but due to various circumstances, you know, led me down the path of getting it, you know, looked at properly. And having had that diagnosis, and again, I sit here and reflect on things over, you know, my lifetime, to be fair, and certain things start to fall in place. You know, oh, that's why I would have reacted like that. Oh, that's why I'm not good at understanding that. Oh, that's why I do this. And as I mentioned on a few podcasts recently, it's weird to sit in the middle and not, you don't want to use that as an excuse, in all fairness. But at some point, you kind of look at things and it just all makes sense. I'm still trying to figure that out, as you can tell, that, you know, if you work in a certain way and you're wired in a certain way, can you change that? I mean, I'm sure that you could. I don't know. If you're out there and I don't know if you've got Asperger's, you've got autism, you've got some other form of, you know, condition, let me know. You know, hit me up on an email. It'd just be interesting to know how other people deal with that. But I reflect on it and I look back on it and go, well, okay, makes a lot of sense. I do certain things in certain ways. Oh, that's why I might not be good at project managing people, is that I'm not a big fan of conflict. Why is that? It's because I don't really understand people. Oh, okay, so I've been trying to do everything in our business that involves people, and it's not really my skill. It's not my strength. So no wonder we look back and go, oh, well, I've made that mistake. And you can see how all the pieces of the puzzle start coming together. And that's quite interesting, in all fairness. So understand your skills, understand yourself. And if you're working in property on your own, then that's an important exercise to do anyway. But if you're in a team, that's when you almost want differing people. Aaron and I are really good at different things, really good at different things. And, you know, every day's a new day. Every day is a day to learn something. Every day is a day to move forward and progress. You know, and because we've known each other quite a long time anyway, you know, instinctively we know who's good at what. And, you know, we're starting to, you know, become more coherent, to have more synergy in how we want to progress the buying side of the business and Aaron's fund matchmaking that he does in the background as well. So that's that, really. And again, this is looking back on the last, you know, 4 or 5 years of things that I would say that we've done wrong. And not trying to be overly critical of ourselves. Again, the purpose of this episode is, and again, a shout out to Kay for suggesting it, is, you know, to give you an insight more into, you know, things that we've done. You know, no one's perfect, and we've certainly made, you know, many a mistake. And what I will say on the mistakes that we've made is that, yeah, yes, they've been avoidable. So we, you know, we shouldn't have made those mistakes anyway, but we don't sit around beating ourselves up that we've made those mistakes. You know, it's in the past, it's gone. We've learned from them. And we also, as you've probably read before, you've got to learn from the mistakes of other people as well. So if you get something out of this episode and you think, oh yeah, I'm actually going to test my floors next time I'm in property just to make sure, you know, they seem decent, then great. You know, as long as you take something away from this, it's the most important thing. So just in summary, you know, mistakes that we've made over our years of investing in no particular order, not doing enough DD on a property, overpaying for refurbs, overpaying on sourcing fees, not understanding what costs what, not asking enough questions, not having a power team in place, and not understanding our skills properly in property. And the side funny story to that was watching quite a large electrician fall through your floor in your first refurb. Not ideal. Again, thankfully he was okay, and you know, we all laughed it off thankfully, at the time. I hope that was of use. As ever, a massive thank you to those that subscribe, those that are listening. You know, really appreciate your feedback. You leave us a review on iTunes, that would be absolutely superb. Got any ideas for any episodes, anything you want to hear, email rob@tpnpodcast.com. That goes straight to my inbox. Always looking to provide as much content to you as possible. And also, if you don't have time to listen to all the podcasts in the car or whatever, do go and check out the YouTube channel, the Property Nomads podcast on YouTube. We're working hard in the background to populate that, and you know, we are working hard to, you know, get better at our social medias as well. There's some awesome content coming up in February and March as well, a Women in Business series coming up, which is going to be absolutely phenomenal, going to be really good perspectives there, yeah, amongst other things on the show. And as you may have noticed, Mondays and Fridays have been quite consistent in December and January, but from February, what will happen, we'll more than likely go back to the Just the Mondays. There will be the odd Friday episode coming in as well, so an odd quick cast or small bone to pick. But until next time, just a massive thank you for your support, for your help. Hopefully you get something useful out of this episode. Spread the word of the Property Nomads podcast to all your friends, family and network as well. Until next time, hasta luego.